This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Back again, WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Here we are on a Wednesday. Ike, how you feeling?
Oh, you in on the Wednesday?
Why not?
Wow.
This is not a threat to me anymore.
All right, Spike.
Well, he was never a threat to you.
Yeah, he was only here to age you, man.
He wasn't really a threat to anybody, to be quite honest with you.
All right.
All right.
Well, besides geese.
Yes. Jackie Baseball over there. Holla at your boy.
How we doing?
How are you doing?
Wednesday's a beautiful day outside.
Oh.
You know, late October, and you wouldn't even know.
Shorts are back on the office, baby.
Nah, you should never wear shorts in the office, Jack. All right.
What's up, brother?
Well, big show as always, mm-hmm. right? We have the return of Flyers in 50, mm-hmm. which will now be Flyers in 44. That's coming up at 3:30. Baldy joins us at 4, like he always does. The updated Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings come at 4:30. Unfortunately, I think we have to start with the Sixers again.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, I know. And wasn't planning on starting with it yesterday, wasn't planning on starting with it today, but it does seem like 24 hours later, nobody is any less angry than they were yesterday. In fact, it seems like everybody is a little more angry. Here's where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I get it. You know, I get the frustration. I get the year after year after year, it's just another thing, and the team is lying, and the player is hurt, and he quit there, and this, that, and the other, and why is there so much nonsense, and why don't we know if he's going to play until the day of or the day before? It is exhausting. It is sort of at the point where I feel like people just want to give up. You know, just don't want to do it anymore. They don't want to do the Joel Embiid thing anymore. The anger is at such a level that I honestly can't remember the last time that I saw a team that had this constant amount of anger at them almost all the time.
Yeah.
Here's where I am with it. And I'll try to explain personally why I'm not there is that I just want to see the Embiid era through. I just want to get to the end of it and give it a chance to happen, however small that chance might be. He's been here for a decade, 10 years. We drafted him when he was like a teenager, basically,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And he has been through a lot, and I'm not asking for the sad violins here or whatever, but as we've been through a lot of stuff cheering for him, mm-hmm. he's been through a lot of things as well, right? He had the broken foot. He had the second broken foot. He had the broken back. His brother, unfortunately, passed away at a very young age. He got married. He had a kid. He had his face broken. He went through the Ben Simmons thing with us. He went through the Markelle Fultz thing mm-hmm. with us, all of those things, and yet he is still here and still one of the best four or five players in all of the NBA. And because he's been through, and we've been through almost MVPs, and another almost MVP, and then an actual MVP, and then a failure in the playoffs, too many of them to count.
Yeah.
And I'm just at the point where it feels like people are ready to give up. I can't. I would rather go through the next two or three years, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and see if it works with all of the hassle, with all of the annoying injury hassle, with all of the annoying team stuff, with all of that stuff, I just want to get to the end of it and say it either worked or it didn't. He either got there or he didn't, because he is one of the best players I've ever seen in any sport in this city. You know, talent-wise, at his best, mm-hmm. there are not very many players in the history of this city who are at the level that he is. And that's just a fact.
I agree with you on that.
And he's not as accomplished as a lot of the other
just
players.
Just about talent.
But just talent, when he is as good as he is as good as I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he's been through so much, and we've been through so much, and he's still here, I just want, for the next 3 years, I will go through all of this nonsense, as frustrating as it is, just to give it a chance to see if it works. And I know people will say, well, it's not going to work. And that's probably true. But the small chance that it does work, to me, is worth the pain of the next few years and the frustration that we will inevitably face. I just want to see it through with Joel. And that's where I am with all of it, though I understand the frustration.
Yeah. You know, last year's postseason, I had my meltdown after that game with the whole 6-foot guard stuff and everything. Yep. So, you know, I certainly was at my wit's end there. But I love watching this dude play basketball so much that it's easy for it to get drawn back in. You know, especially when he's on the court and he's doing his thing and he's looking good. How could you not just be enthralled with everything he's doing out there? This is a 7'2" wonder. Like, this isn't some 6'5" wingman that comes around every 2 to 3 years that shows you remarkable athletic ability. We're talking about a man his size being able to do the things he does. You're talking about a combination of Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, all these type of big men that were athletic, that could play from the outside, that weren't necessarily back to the basket type of players. That's all they had was post, low post moves. This dude fits in today's game from the standpoint his skill set allows him to be effective. All of that being said, I do understand where everybody's frustration is coming from and the disappointment of him not playing in the first game. I'm pretty much in the same camp as you. It's like, we've tried everything else. They could have handled this better, and this could have been more transparent as far as what was going to happen with him sooner, so all these questions wouldn't be out there about his health and this and that and the other. But ultimately, we all know what happens in the second half of the season, in the spring, hopefully into the summer, is what really matters and what he's really going to be judged on. That's all that matters to us as basketball. Yeah, it'd be great to see him. He's never going to play 60, 70, 80 games. So we can get that out of our head. We all understand that. But to want him to be at his best the second half of the season to head into the postseason, and they're trying it a different way, I got to be open to that because I feel like they've tried the other stuff and it has not worked. I have not seen this formula put to test by the Sixers, so why not see what it brings us? Again, yes, it's disappointing that he's not on the court. Paul George got hurt last week. I get it. But if we're talking about the only thing that matters is winning a championship, him playing as many games as possible is not conducive to us winning a championship.
Might be for some players, but not for him.
And that's how we got to look at it.
Yeah.
This is specifically to him. And that's why, listen, I love both Charles and Shaq. I thought they were being a little unfair last night with the critics. I understand they may have the right intentions there. They want to try to push him to play. But what they're not taking into to consideration is his injury history. They're looking at the right now. They're looking at why you played in the Olympics. You had enough time to get ready for now. Like, they're looking at it in a vacuum right now, not what he's gone through already and why the Sixers and he are doing this the way they're doing it right now. Again, it's frustrating, but I don't know what else to do now. Like, all I can do is be like, okay, I hope this works. I hope this works.
That's all I can do. Yeah. 215-592-9494. Do you want to see the Embiid thing through, or did you just want to give up?
I didn't answer that. Yes.
You want to see it through.
Are you kidding me? Yes. Until he can't play anymore?
That's what I want.
Yes.
And here's the last thing I'll say on it, and I know that everyone has their players,
mm-hmm.
right? Jack with Bryce. You know, some people with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
I feel not me. Well, it's not you.
You didn't give it to me either.
Well, that's true. You're Carson.
Yeah.
Well, you did.
Well,
you know?
Yes. So that's over with now.
It doesn't always.
The Jalen group's dwindling by the day.
I guess what I would say is I feel emotionally invested in his success. For me,
okay.
And I'm not speaking for anybody else
right.
here. It's as much about Joel Embiid succeeding as it is the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
Right now, for me. I want to see it through in the same way. It's not entirely different than a rocky relationship that you're in. And if you're in a relationship with somebody that you love, that you don't want this, you don't want to look back on it and say, well, if I had just given it this try or done this. So I am so emotionally invested in his success that I can't give up. Like, I need the next 3 years, even if it fails, even if it goes up in flames, I can at least say there was an ending to it. There was a beginning, there was a middle, and there was an end. And I need to give it that chance to see it through. I understand the people who can't do it anymore, though I don't know that there's a better plan, you know, outside of this. But for me, I just need to see it through. So do you want to see through the Embiid era, or are you ready to give up? 215-592-9494. Jack, where are you on this?
I can't wait for...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Rebuild. I think Joel Embiid's great. We know where this is going. I know, most likely know where it's going. And while it's going to be cool watching Paul George and cool watching Joel Embiid, listen, my biggest fear now is what version of Joel Embiid are we getting? Is this a 40? We saw Joel Embiid last year average more points than minutes played, right?
Yeah.
But then he got hurt again and didn't look the same. Even if the Now, he was still good in the 50-point game in the Knicks series, but he also got tired in the fourth quarters of those games. And then he went to the Olympics, kind of the same thing. So, like, my fear is this the version of Joel Embiid that we're going to get going forward? Like, I don't think that this is going to end in a championship. I don't think it's going to end in glory. They're great players, but I'm ready for something new. Do I think that Tyrese Maxey can be the best player on a championship team? Absolutely not. I think they would need someone else. But I'm ready for new hope rather than seeing the same thing
over and over again.
Well,
yeah.
I get it, but I think that the thing that you need to remember is that the something new is only new for a minute, and then it's
and
just
then it's
something.
Not new anymore, yeah.
Then it's just something, right? And we learn that every time we yearn for a backup quarterback, and then we see him, and we're like, you know, unless it's Nick Foles, it's sometimes the thing that you don't know is only attractive until you know it. You know, so I understand that.
True.
But then I always come to when somebody's like, well, I just want something new. I come to, okay, well, then what? And then are we just, I remember the 10 years before Joel with no hope, zero hope. The only hope we had was one season when the entire Chicago Bulls roster got injured during the playoffs. And that only got us one run. By the way, that team didn't even get further than this team did.
We're still second round.
So before we get to the phones, we do have a next question today.
What we got?
Okay, so we have a 4-pack of tickets to the Brotherly Love Card Show Philly this Saturday.
Hey.
And a meet and greet autograph session with Ike Reese.
Talk about it. Talk about it.
It's at the PA Convention Center in Philly. So
whatever happened to Ike Reese?
So we lost an all-time athlete today in Fernando Valenzuela. And if you are the age of Ike or I, or maybe older, maybe probably not any younger, you remember the sensation that was Fernando Valenzuela.
Yes,
I mean, it was everything
Mania
for a minute there.
Yeah.
So for today's next question, for those tickets, we're going to ask you who had a short but very high peak, who burned very brightly but didn't burn for very long. So we'll
sports
ask
or
you,
non-sports, by the way.
It's sports or non-sports. In fact, I have a non-sports one. Jack, what is yours?
Nick Foles.
Yeah, come on. What are you
10 years, brother.
10 years of what?
The 27-2 and the Super Bowl were like 6 years away.
Great answer, Jack.
Oh.
Great answer, Fritzy.
It's the best answer.
All right, it's a good answer.
Super Bowl MVP never started the whole 16 games for this
game. Never started 16 games.
No, he hasn't. Yeah,
that's a good answer.
He is an interesting one. I would say he's like if. Well, I don't want to give this other person. Why don't you give yours?
Let me ask you. Did that Dodgers team win the title? They didn't win the title with Fernando, right? They got to the World Series.
Yeah, I don't
Unless
think
he was
they
on
won.
The 88 team.
No, he was not on the 88
team. No, he was not on the 88 team. Yeah, yeah. So they didn't win it. Yeah, he just got there.
Got there. Yeah.
Man, it's so many. I don't want to take them. You know what? In honor of playing the Bengals this weekend.
Yep.
You know who I'm gonna go with?
Who?
Icky Woods.
Icky Shuffle,
man.
Icky Shuffle.
Yeah, he had 1 year, I believe. I think he had maybe two. I think it was really just the 1 year.
But it was a phenomenon.
It was a phenomenon, and the Icky Shuffle dance became a national craze. Then he got injured, I believe, the next year at some point, and he was never Icky Woods again. So, yeah, that was a craze right there.
Oh, it was every network NFL show you saw was the Icky Shuffle. Everybody knew it. You were a kid, you knew Icky Shuffle. All right, so I'm going non-sports, and I have a long list of musicians, long list of actors, but I decided to go actor. I'm going Macaulay Culkin. Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone and Home Alone 2 was a sensation.
Yeah,
and then. You don't really hear about Macaulay Culkin ever again. He had a couple of movies in there, but that was it. But he was,
Didn't
as a child.
Did he try to do like a thriller movie? Was he like, was he?
He was in the My Girl, the movie where the little girl dies. Or he dies.
I'm thinking of one.
One of them dies.
I thought he was, I don't know if that's the one I'm thinking of. Maybe I'm thinking of another kid actor.
Okay.
That somehow tried to become, he became like a demon kid. He started killing people.
Oh, I don't think Macaulay Culkin
That wasn't Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe he did. But yeah. So mine's Macaulay Culkin. All right, so do you want to see the Embiid era through, or do you want to give up? And for next question today, who had a very short but very, very high peak? 215-592-9494. Tasty Cake Dom leads us off. What's up?
Hi, Spike. Hey, Ike.
What up, Tasty Cake?
Spike, I listened to you guys all day yesterday, and I listened to the opening. Of course you got to ride with Embiid. You don't really have any other choice. But, man, being a Sixers fan is so exasperating and so hard because there's always stipulations to being a fan. You just can't love them.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, certainly. I mean, certainly, if you do love them, boy, you better be ready for a rocky relationship.
Like, I'm 60 years old. They won the championship my senior year of high school. They haven't won a trade in 40 years, Spike. They haven't won a trade in 40 years. They got snookered every single time in 40 years.
Well, that's not true.
give me one.
Well, I mean, they ended up with Tyrese Maxey after trading Markelle Fultz. They won that trade. They got 3 first-round picks for essentially cap space when Hinkie was here with the Nick Stauskas trade. They've certainly won some trades.
You can't say that they won any of those trades
because
they didn't get better. The winning a trade is progressing. They never got out of the second round yet. Until they get out of the second round, they did not win a trade because they're the same.
Hold on. How is trading Markelle Fultz for Tyrese Maxey not winning a trade? They won the trade. Well, it's okay.
How is it? Because did they progress into the second round?
They won the trade.
Well, then it's not winning the trade.
They won the trade.
Do you do a trade to make your team better and progress?
They won the heart.
Am I out of my mind?
Spike, they've never won a trade.
He's saying they haven't won a trade because they haven't progressed any further than they already were.
Yeah,
is basically what he's saying.
Yeah, you know, then I'm getting 2 first-round picks for James Harden, which
if you're still in the same position,
but you can win a battle and lose a war. And they haven't won the war. I'm with you on that. I do think they've won trades.
Go ahead.
What are you gonna say?
I'm just saying, as a guy that's an older guy, some of their bungles stay with, like, I feel bad for Daryl Morey and Embiid, because a guy like me that's 60 that has endured some of the most ridiculous, you know, the Bynum thing and trading Roy Henson for Brad Daugherty. I mean, bungles that set the franchise back. You're supposed to have Brad Daugherty and Charles Barkley next to each other for 10 years, and let's play those Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, Morey did walk into Tobias Harris, not a great trade. You know, that wasn't a winner.
Well, hold on. That wasn't Tobias either, man. Come on, man.
They traded 3 first-round picks, and they gave him a 5-year max.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, that was a little much.
Right.
Yeah, that was a little much.
All right.
Okay. I didn't realize they gave up 3 first-round picks for Tobias.
3 firsts, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. For a half a season of him, by the way. He was on an expiring contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can chalk up as a loss right there. Yeah, we can chalk that up.
Well, he won the Jimmy Butler first trade, right? Sarge and Covington?
Yeah, but then you lost him. You had him for 3 months, you know? So he's a better player than those two guys are.
But we didn't have him.
We didn't get to keep him. We got to keep Tobias, though.
Yeah, that was Spike's fault.
Hey, Tate, stop it. Tasty K, give us somebody who had a very short but high peak.
Well, Blake, if I may, I told Jack an athlete, but then you said I could go other than athlete.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. One.
Okay.
To me, because he was unbelievable, Andrew Dice Clay.
It was. That's a good one, and I'm a Dice guy. I did see Dice at the Spectrum.
Dice been around for a while, though.
Yeah, so the thing
He was selling out arenas.
He was.
He was the first comic to sell out arenas.
Yep, sell out Madison Square Garden. He was the first one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tasty Cake. He did. Now, he has had a long career.
What you're saying, but his peak was short-lived. Yeah.
It was a sensation. My Uncle Eric took me to see Dice. I think I was 14. I forget the year that he played the Spectrum, but it was pretty awesome. The peak of Dice was pretty awesome.
By the way, the movie's The Good Son.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yes.
The Good Son.
With Elijah Wood. Elijah Wood,
yes,
I think, is in that
yes,
as well.
It was two kids. One was adopted. And yes. Okay.
There you go.
I see. What a memory, man. It's
still there.
Yeah, I remember bits and pieces of stuff, man.
Well, this show is dynamite. It pieces together most of the story.
Yes. Yeah. Between the three of us.
Yeah, we can get sort of the full story there.
Between the
Twitter
three of
us out.
And Twitter and the callers, we'll come up with almost any answer. Yep. All right, coming up next, Nick Nurse did talk about whether Joel Embiid re-injured his knee, and he gave a sort of, I don't know, iffy answer. We will play
That's one way to describe it.
Yeah, we will play that for you next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.